Hello and welcome back to episode 2 of Admins of Atlassian podcast. This podcast is brought to you by audible.com, where you can sign up to get a free trial to download a free audiobook of your choice. So be sure to check that out. Before we get things underway, I wanted to share a little bit of news items for you from this week. The first one being Summit 2015. If you have not heard about that, Atlassian hosts a user conference every year, typically in San Francisco, where users can get together, attend training sessions and speeches, demos, talk to some of the plugin vendors, and also get in-person support for any of their items with the Atlassian support staff or any training needs on site. That is occurring this November, November 3rd through November 5th in San Francisco. So be sure to check that out. In addition, I will include a link in the show notes to a link to an Atlassian blog post in which they give you a preset template in which you fill in your name and other details and hand that over to your boss to convince them to let you go to the summit. I will also include a link to their published agenda so you can kind of see what training courses are available and what the prices are for those training courses, and also see what some of these summit sessions are going to be. Now, some of the sessions they do live stream. I believe in last year or the years before, they kind of live stream some of the sessions. They definitely live stream the keynote, so you'll be able to stay tuned on their YouTube channel as they live stream that. But they also record all sessions. So for those that aren't able to make it out to the user conference or the summit, you can definitely check out some of the videos that they post online to their YouTube account, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes. They normally post a link to those videos on YouTube about a month or so after the summit, so you can go back and look at those videos, or look at, if you've gone, you can check out some of the other sessions that you missed. Also happening this week, Atlassian was voted best place to work in Australia for the second time in a year. I can say, working with Atlassian as a user group leader, kind of seeing some of their offices and how you interact with some of the employees at the summit conference, I can definitely believe that it's definitely one of those great places to work. Unfortunately, I've never been to Australia, so I'm pretty sure they have some fun things going on down there. And to round it up, Atlassian kind of went big this week, tweeting out Jessica Alba was speaking, and the interviewer asked if she could code, and her response was that she couldn't code, but she could open a Jira. So that was definitely one of the big items for the week, to kind of get that validation and make people wonder, what is Jira, and kind of go out and look and see what that tool is, and have someone of that caliber speak to that. So pretty cool. Now, we'll just go ahead and jump right into the topic for this week. So we're going to talk about physical versus virtual servers. Now, in the episode 1, we kind of talked about cloud versus on-premise or your own Jira server installation behind your firewall, and kind of went through the pros and cons for those choosing that. Now, this topic is aimed squarely at those that chose to install Jira behind their firewall. Now they want to get things set up. They're trying to decide what architecture to put Jira on, and therefore, should I go physical or should I go virtual? Now let's talk about physical server. I think one of the primary reasons someone would choose a physical server is for all-out performance. You can have great performance on a virtual server as well, but with virtual server, you're pretty much sharing server resources or sharing resources with other virtual servers that are on that host. With a physical server, it is your dedicated server, so it will only run for that application or anything else that you may install on that server. So you don't have to contend with anything using your CPU, disk, or other resources that your application needs. So from my experience, Jira needs two things: fast disk and lots of memory. So for disk on a physical server, you can toss in a large SSD. Jira will use it and it will pretty much fall in love with it. Now, what Jira does to use that is it creates an application index. So anytime you create an issue, transition that issue status, add comments, do any type of work related to that issue, it of course writes it to the database, but it also writes it to the application server within index files, and it uses Lucene index technology to do so. Now, everything that you will see within Jira and how you will search, create filters, have your dashboard. All of that is actually fed from these application index files. So it's constantly reading and writing from these indexes so that it can save time and not go to the database. Because it's doing that, you want to make sure that you provide as fast of a disk as possible for it to keep that I/O latency running perfectly. The second thing is memory. Jira uses a lot of memory for the application index to store those, store that within its memory. Also for the plugins that you may have added to the system, they will retain a portion of that memory as well. And then along with other user interactions within the tool that will use that memory or scale it up and scale it down. Now what I've seen previously before and some documentation and best practices and recommendations was to have 1 gigabyte of memory for every 100K issues. Of course, this can change wildly by how you're actually using your Jira installation. For someone that's using it very basic, they can achieve that and that will work great for them. But for someone else that is maybe building some small integrations or they start adding a lot of plugins, they'll want to make sure that they're looking at that memory and that they're scaling it as so. So with virtual servers, you're sharing resources, as I mentioned, with other server environments. So you need to make sure that you have a well-managed VM environment that will not pose an issue for you. So if you have a VM environment that's densely packed with other high-use servers or applications, that can cause a problem for you either in CPU utilization and or a disk read access speeds. So again, if we take a look at what are the two things to keep an eye on when you are using a VM, or in regards to Jira, from my experience, disk. Jira is using those application indexes to read and write very quickly and provide that information to users as they perform searches and other functions within a tool. Now, if you have a VM, you're sharing resources with others, you're sharing disk, so you can have another application or several applications within your VM environment that's actually eating up that disk, causing large I/O spikes or wait times for you to write to that shared disk. That will definitely impact Jira. It will cause slow performance and your users are going to complain and not be very happy. The second thing that you want to keep an eye out for is CPU. Unlike a physical server, adding more CPU isn't necessarily the answer. There's lots of things to think about here. So if you build your physical server, you're adding lots of things. You're building it to the max and making sure that you can grow over time. So you're pretty building it out to kind of be a Hulk to begin with. With the virtual server, you're likely going to start off very thin with the minimum requirements that you need, because requesting more can actually hurt you in the long term, and CPU is one of those things. When starting, you'll learn that too much CPU can actually cause problems and how it works in a virtual environment. For example, if you started off with assigning 6 CPU to your Jira virtual server, it's going to have to wait for those 6 CPUs to become available before it processes your request, while other applications or servers that have 4 or 2 CPUs will get processed much more often. So sometimes if you go 6 and you're finding that you're having CPU issues, your team may actually take you down to 4 CPUs or less to get better performance so that your application is serviced much more faster, because 4 CPUs is available much quicker than 6 CPUs are. So disk and CPU are two things that you want to keep an eye on when going in with a virtual server. So how do you size it? If you go with a virtual server or a physical server. If you're going with a physical server, as I mentioned, you're going to want to have that beefed up, because you're not going to want to continue to buy more memory card sticks to put into the server or continually expand that storage. So you want to get a very, very large SSD drives as much as you can so that you can have that growth over the next several years as far as data and attachments being added, your support zips from within the tool, or anything else that you may be writing out to it. You want to make sure that you have a large enough drive and a very fast drive in your server to get that going. Additionally, you'll want to make sure that you pack it with at least 8 GB of RAM. For your memory. I say at least as the far minimum so that you can scale it a little bit over the couple of years. But if you're building a monster server, you know that this is going to be an enterprise-driven platform, then you'll probably want to make it double that to 16 gig, 32 gig. You'll want to make sure that you have enough RAM to survive over the next several years if you're aiming to have an enterprise instance with a lot of issues and a lot of activity and a lot of plugins within your system. And then at least with a bare minimum of a quad-core CPU. But again, if you're going for an enterprise instance, a very large instance with a high amount of users, you'll want to bump that up to a much larger size, maybe 3 times the size of that or more, so that, again, you can survive over the next few years and scaling that platform and not having to worry about migrating to another physical server because you exhausted those resources. Now, a virtual server is the complete opposite. You'll probably want to start off with the basic minimum that you need to run it. So generally, I may give a virtual server 2 CPU, about 100 GB of disk, and about maybe 2 to 4 GB of RAM. Again, and depending on how you think you will scale, what's the target audience that you're going to have for your environment? Is it just going to be 1,000 users that you're going to have, or do you plan to have 4,000 users within your Jira instance? Overall, in a virtual environment, you can grow your resources over time, so starting off small is not a bad idea. And that's it for this episode, in which we talked about a physical server or a virtual server. Again, with all things Jira, it's not a straightforward answer. Like we discussed in episode 1 between Jira Cloud and Jira Server, you're going to need to look and analyze your needs, right? So you're going to need to look at how you're going to use the system, who's your audience for the system, and what's the potential roadmap that you have for it. Are you going to be a mid-level Jira instance where maybe you have maybe 500 to 1,000 users? You don't have that many transactions. You don't plan to have those many Jira projects or a lot of Jira projects or even customization to the tool. Do you plan to be very small, 200 or so users? Maybe you, with that, you can go with the Jira Cloud instance. But if you're going with the Jira server, maybe you're having about 500 to 1,000 users that's utilizing this, or maybe you plan to grow out to 5,000 or more in an enterprise scale. Whatever it is, as you're sitting down and you're gathering this information and you're writing down your requirement, who's your audience, and how you're going to utilize this platform, I know the information that I've given you would definitely help you, as this is something that I had to think about in building out my very first Jira environment, in which we started off very small with 200 to 300 users and have grown into the thousands. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to this episode of Admins of Atlassian, and be sure to stay tuned for the next episode. Subscribe to iTunes if you haven't. Subscribe to the Admins of Atlassian blog so that you can be notified when a new episode is out. Be sure to check out our sponsor, audible.com, where you can download a free audiobook with a free 30-day trial. It's pretty cool. I'm listening to, or have finished, Gardens of the Moon by Steven Erickson, and I've restarted that audiobook to kind of grab some things that I missed. And in an early on mid portion of the book, there were some things that I missed, so I'm glad I did that. But it's great for my bus rides into work, so be sure to check the show notes, the website, where I will have all that information. Also on the website, I will include all the links and resources where you can use to help make your decision in regards to Jira requirements and Jira sizing, as well as some of the news items I spoke about at the beginning. And with that, see you next time.